بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويوم يعد الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا، يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا، لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني وكان الشيطان للإنسان خذولا. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected friends and elders, it is a grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us is out of the mercy and grace of Allah, so that we may use this day to repent for our sins and make amends for our shortcomings and to build our akhirah. It was the dua of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Every day when the sun would rise, then he would recite this dua: Alhamdulillahi alladhi aqalana yawmana hadha walam yuhlikna bidhunubina. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us one more day. And all praise to that Allah who has not destroyed us because of our sins. We are coming to the end of another year, respected friends and elders. And at the year end, we all know what happens. That the system of the non-Muslims, the system of the world is such that they rejoice and they merry make and they party. And they spend their days and nights in festivities because of the passing of one year and the coming of a new year. Respected friends and elders, in Shariat we are taught differently, that as time progresses and as the years or days and months pass, then we are getting closer and closer to the ultimate end of Maut and Akhirat. And then is Jannat or Jahannam. So with the passage of time, man prepares more. A Muslim ought to be more prepared for his Akhirah rather than parting away and whiling away time, intermingling, engaging in all types of haram, etc. It is unfortunate, respected friends and elders, that Muslims also get caught up in these festivities. Muslims also get caught up in these celebrations, which generally entail the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Islam, there is no harm with a person living a comfortable life, a person being happy, a person enjoying himself. But all this has to happen within the confines of Sharia. What is wrong is when we find the opposite happening, that a person begins to enjoy and he wants to have fun and he wants entertainment, but he doesn't care whether it entails the fulfilling of a command or the breaking of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is in accordance with the sunnah or against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not becoming of a believer, respected friends and elders. Imagine if I told you that there was a person by the name of John with his wife Jane. At the beginning of Dhul-Hijjah, they went to some farm and they purchased two sheep for Bakri Eid. And then they take delivery a few days later and they look after it in their yard. The children also look after that animal. They feed it, they play with it, etc. And then on Eid morning, they all come together and they slaughter those animals. They're getting it skinned and sliced. And whilst this is happening, all of a sudden they look at the watch and it is nearing 10 o'clock. And it's a Sunday morning. So John and Jane and the rest of his family, they rush back into the house. They quickly wash themselves, change their clothes, and now they head for the church. If I had to tell you the story, then you would question that is this really true? Can this happen? Are these people, is it John or Junaid? Is it Jane or Jamila? Are they Muslims or non-Muslim? The fact that you are questioning this, respected friends and elders, is a sign that this doesn't happen. We don't find that a John and a Jane sharing in our celebration. We don't find that Christian and Jew and non-Muslim sharing in our Eid, respected friends and elders. How is it that when we hear stories of a Junaid and a Jamila, a Muhammad and a Ahmad and a Aisha and a Fatima celebrating a Christmas party, attending a New Year's party, we don't question that. That is so normal for us. That for us to share in their festivities has become so normal. If we hear that kind of an incident and a report, it's normal. We don't question. But when we hear the opposite, that we hear maybe some Christian also decided to participate in the Eid festival, then we question it. This is sufficient for us to understand that they don't share in our festivities. Why is it that we have to share in their festivities? Whereas we are the ones who are upon haqq. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, on a different note, he cautioned his people and his students who began to go and open the books of the Jews and the Christians and read their historical narrations. So he mentioned to them that, what is the matter with y'all? Y'all are people on haqq. And y'all are going and reading the books of Ahlul Batil. And wala wallahi ma ra'aytu ahadan minhum. I never saw any one of them asking you about what is in your book. Whereas you are on haqq. Why are you giving up what you have to look at what they have? Apply the same thing here, respected friends and elders. What we have is the ideal. What we have is the perfect way of life given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, demonstrated to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter the sahaba ikram, the tabi'een, and the ulama throughout time, and the pious throughout time. This is a perfect model of life. Let us not belittle what we have and ape what the non-Muslims are doing, respected friends and elders. Ulama explain that when a person steps out of the fold of Islam, it happens in stages usually. First, you begin to belittle what you have. You suffer some kind of inferiority complex. And then after that, you start admiring what the non-Muslims have. And you admire what the fusaq and fujar are doing. And then you start adopting that. And then a time comes, Allah save us, a man formally steps out of the fold of Islam. So us looking and admiring and aping, maybe sometimes as the father in the home, now a man is aged, for example, in his late 30s, in his 40s, he's understanding. He doesn't admire, but he hears his wife speaking about some people engaged in haram with admiration. He hears his children admiring these parties and these bashes, so to say. Then it's our duty, respected friends and elders, to explain to them and make them understand that what we have is the perfect way of life. What we have will keep our sanity intact, our dignity intact, our wealth intact, our chastity intact, our deen intact. And what the non-Muslims have, respected friends and elders, will rob a person of every one of these things. The way of shaitan. There's only two ways in this dunya. Allah speaks about ulaika hizbullah and ulaika hizbush shaitan. Either you are in the group and the jamaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, in the obedience of Allah, or you are in the jamaat of shaitan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentions that person who goes out in the morning to earn a livelihood and is doing it with the correct intention to save himself from begging, to protect himself from stealing, engaging in haram, to feed his family halal sustenance, then this person who is going to earn a living, this person who is going to the marketplace, in some ahadith labeled as the worst place on earth, but if he is going there with the correct intention, and obviously abiding by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this person is fi sabilillah, the hadith says. And on the other hand, that person who goes to the business place with the wrong intention, to do all the wrong and to earn more wealth to spend in haram, etc., then that person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is labeled as being fi sabili shaitan. So in other words, there's only two groups in this dunya. If you are not following the way of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then respected friends and elders, in the light of the ayat of Quran and the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have fallen in the jamaat of shaitan. And this is the time, respected friends and elders, when it's obvious shaitan would make an additional effort. This is a time when the entire dunya makes an additional effort. This is a time when the entire dunya competes with each other. Who can have the better party? Who can have the bigger bash? And unfortunately today, partying and merrymaking and celebrating entails the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in essence, throughout the globe, people are competing. Who will be able to disobey Allah the most? Who will be able to flout more commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Na'uzu billah, who will be able to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more? That in essence is what is happening over the next few weeks in this dunya. As Muslim respected friends and elders, it is absolutely imperative for us to take cognizance of this. It's not just one night. It's not just a few moments. No, respected friends and elders. It's slippery stone this. It is a stepping stone and a slippery stone as well. When a person goes and he falls into the jamaat that we are speaking about, the jamaat of shaitan, the way of shaitan, then this will lead him further and further and further away from the jamaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore it is important, respected friends and elders, in these days for us to ensure that we abstain from visiting any such environment wherein the vice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is found. We should abstain from the company of those people who encourage us, who influence us towards haram and towards sin. These are the two things, respected friends and elders, that influence a man the most. The company you are is the company you keep. The company we have is a great influence on our lives. And then the environments and the areas we visit and frequent also has an effect, respected friends and elders. When it is hot outside, everybody feels hot. When it's raining, everybody gets wet. Whether it's a man who reads 5 times salat in the first saf, or a person who doesn't read la salat like that, everybody will be affected by the environment outside. The same here, respected friends and elders, no matter who we are, if we expose ourselves to wrong company, if we expose ourselves to the wrong environment, respected friends and elders, then we must take effect. Definitely it's going to happen, respected friends and elders. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when giving the example of the effect of company, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the simile of fragrance. That the example of good company is like that of a musk seller. That if you are with him, either you will buy some fragrance, some musk from him, or he will give you some. Bare minimum is you'll, at least while you are there, you'll enjoy a good fragrance, and maybe some of that fragrance may come onto your clothing. And if you are in bad company, then it's like you are by a blacksmith, a person who's working with fire, with iron, with soot all the time. What would happen? Either that spark will come onto your clothes and burn your clothes, or that soot and the dust there and the ash there will come onto your clothing and mess you. And bare minimum is you will get a bad smell when you are there. When you leave also, that smell may be with you for a while. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah explains why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give this kind of an example to illustrate to us the effect of company. The reason for this, respected friends and elders, is that to show us that the effect of company is guaranteed. Whether you can see it or not, like fragrance, you can't see it. But the effect is there. Exact the same, respected friends and elders, is the effect of company. صاحب خيار الناس تنجو مسلما. Keep the company of good people, one pious person mentioned. Keep the company of good people and pious people. تنجو مسلما. You will be safe, inshallah. وصاحب شرار الناس يوما. And keep the company of the bad people, of the sinners, of those who are engaged in these kind of parties and bashes and merrymaking. يوما also for one day. Rather for a few moments of a day also. فتندما. You will live to regret it, respected friends and elders. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us the example and the effect of bad company. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was customary for the Arabs, and this was also practiced by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. In other words, this was a practice that he himself endorsed. And it's a practice we need to revive, respected friends and elders. When they would return from any safar and any journey, when they would come back home, then like today in our environments, it's customary for people, for example, a returning haji. It's customary for people maybe to invite them to their homes. But here their habit was, when the musafir himself would return, whatever safar he went on, whatever journey he went on, it was customary that when they would return, they would invite the people of the community. Probably out of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they returned safely back home. So one kafir of Makkah, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, when he returned, then he gave a feast for the people of Makkah. And among the people he invited was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to accept and says, I cannot accept your da'wat because you are not a Muslim. If you recite kalima la ilaha illallah, I will come. Now respected friends and elders, he was not coerced here. He was not forced, no. Kuffari Makkah had yaqeen in their hearts that what the Nabi of Allah was saying was true. Many of them, respected friends and elders, remained stubborn despite knowing within the bottom of their hearts that Deenul Islam is the true religion. So Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt then recited kalima. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attended his invite. After a few days passed, one of Uqba's friends, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, had returned from his journey. And when he heard that this is what happened, both of them initially were good friends, and both of them were arch enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he heard that he invited the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his feast, and he recited kalima also. So this one friend tells another. This is now the effect of evil friendship, respected friends and elders. He tells him, I've got nothing to do with you. We are not friends anymore until, na'udhu billah, you renounce the deen of Islam, number one. And number two, na'udhu billah, you go and do this disgraceful act of spitting on the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man, this person, respected friends and elders, went and did it because of his friend. What don't we do because of the effect of the person next to me? Because of peer pressure? Or because of what people are talking about in my workplace? Or because of the friends and the company I keep? What wrongs don't we, aren't we led to, respected friends and elders? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then refers to him in Quran. And Allah says that the effect of that companionship was so bad. وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ On that day, meaning the day of Qiyamah, this zalim Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt will be biting on his hands. He'll be biting out of regret and remorse. يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ He will say, يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا If only I adopted the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. He'll regret this friendship he had with Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Ya waylata laytani woe unto me. May I be destroyed. Why did I take so and so as my friend? If only I never had him as my friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي He misled me from guidance. After guidance came to me. In other words, I was on the deen of Islam, and because of the influence of this friend, I gave up the deen of Islam, and I was taken away to, and I was taken astray. He will practically curse himself and curse his friend, respected friends and elders. How many of us didn't see or maybe even experience in our lives that sometimes a person, mashallah, is in the masjid, maybe we had some good intentions for the holidays, but because of some invite from some person, then we feel, you know what, it's free, so it's fine. No, respected friends and elders. Having an invite is not a license to attend any gathering if it entails the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may have access. You may have tickets, for example, for a particular concert or party. You may have VIP access to a certain place. But if that function is such that it entails the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are not warranted to be there. The effect of company, the effect of the environment, respected friends and elders, will definitely rub off on us. Our wives and our children. And as time goes along, that effect then increases and increases and increases. Then we ourselves as parents begin to wonder, why, where did I go wrong? What happened when we get some kind of sad news? Allah save us. No father wants to hear bad reports about his children. But when that does happen, then we begin to think and inspect and see where did we go wrong. Whereas all along, respected friends and elders, we were the ones who exposed them. We took them to those kind of environments. We didn't keep a check on their friends and the company they kept, respected friends and elders. So dangerous and so effectful is the effect of companionship. The hadith of Abu Dawood Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalili. A man will end up on the creed, on the religion, on the way of life of his friend. You'll be prepared to give up whatever you have. Your deen also you will sell to please your friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, each of you should check, who do you keep as your friends? And these next few weeks, respected friends and elders, is when we really need to check. Who are our friends? Who are our children mixing with? Who are our wives mixing with? Who are they associating with? Whether it be in the real world or the virtual world, respected friends and elders. Unfortunately, today there's more effect from the virtual world than the real world. Sometimes there's more associates and more friends and more companionship being kept on the virtual world. There's a need for us to check that as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. The effect of environment, respected friends and elders. This incident that I'll quote to you is about 10 years old. And it happened in United States of America. But today this entire dunya has been engulfed by the same fitnas. A friend of mine says, I was waiting for a train from New York to New Jersey. The train was delayed. So I sat there at the station reading a kitab. And then when the train arrived, I took my seat. When I sat, he says, there was a young girl, maybe 17, 18-year-old girl that came, very scantily dressed. And she asks me that the seat next to you, is it available? So obviously living in that kind of an environment, anti-Islam, so much of Islamophobia, he said, I didn't want to give any bad impression. I said, yes, you can take the seat. So when she sat down, she then asked him this question. She says, what are you reading? Are you reading the Quran? So he says, no, I'm reading a book. She says, is it in Arabic? He says, no, it is in Urdu. Then she tells him that I'm also a Muslim. He says, when she said that, I was extremely surprised. Because I thought her to be some non-Muslim from her appearance. And then she tells him, respected friends and elders, it pains everyone to hear this. It pains me to say it also, respected friends and elders. She says, I am a alima. I studied 6 years in a Darul Uloom in India. She was from some Caribbean country. She says, after I studied and returned, my parents sent me to New York for a better life. Respected friends and elders, all of us have got this worry and concern, how we ourselves and our children can have a better life. And for that better life, what do we sacrifice? So her parents sent her here for the better life, but at what expense, respected friends and elders? She says, I'm here for about 7 months now. I couldn't find job besides being a babysitter in a particular Jewish home, and they are the ones who make me dress like this. Now, respected friends and elders, after studying, being in such an environment, only 6-7 months in an environment of haram, 6 or 7 months outside in the world looking for a better life, and see how she was robbed, respected friends and elders, of her Islamic identity. That may have happened there, as I mentioned, years ago. Today, respected friends and elders, is happening here in our own society. No matter who we are, if we end up in the wrong environment, if we end up in the wrong company, respected friends and elders, then Allah save us, we can be robbed like that as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding the seriousness of the situation. That these next few weeks are very, very important. We should actually plan ahead of time. Plan ahead of time, respected friends and elders, that this is how I'm going to avoid. This is how I'm going to avoid going to these kind of areas. This is how I'm going to protect myself and my wife and my children from being affected from the festivities and the haram that's going to take place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us the good results, inshallah, of that in this dunya and in akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding that the greatest wealth we have, respected friends and elders, today is the wealth of iman. And that is the thing that is most challenged. That is the thing that is challenged the most, although we don't realize it. We put up bigger fences outside our homes to protect our property and our wealth. We have alarm systems and tracking devices, etc., for our security of our wealth, because we understood the threat of the threat of being robbed of those items. If we understand, respected friends and elders, the threat that is there out in the dunya today to rob each and every person of his iman, the effort of shaitan is so much on the increase, respected friends and elders. So much of fitna outside. Let us realize that our iman also is threatened now. And take adequate steps, respected friends and elders. Keeping to the good environments, spending time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attending majalis and programs and lectures and jalsas in the masjid, spending time with the pious. This is how, inshallah, we can save ourselves. This is our security, respected friends and elders. This is our patrol. This is our tracking devices. By keeping to good company, sticking to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming to the best place on earth is the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana.